Lifestyle Matters. It's more than money. I'm Faisal Carmelli, and my co-host here, filling in for Dave Popowich, Rob Gehry. Rob, how are you doing?
Good, Faisal. Good to be here.
I'm excited to having this guest on the show, because when we talk about what's happening in the world, one of the sources that we use, one of the biggest money managers in the world, with the depth and breadth of understanding what truly is happening. When you live in a city like Calgary, in a province like Alberta, in a country like Canada, you sometimes don't get to see the full scope of everything. But this team and this individual gets to see the full scope. I'm really looking forward to it. So let's figure out what's happening globally from an economic perspective. Where is inflation heading? What's their take on what's going on in the world? Let me introduce to you Tony Crescenzi, Executive Vice President, Market Strategist, and Generalist Portfolio Manager at PIMCO. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Faisal. Thanks, Rob. Great to be with you.
Okay, so let's kick it off really quickly on Canada, because I know Canada, I always tell our clients and our viewers, Canada is a rounding error in the economics of the world. Most people don't really look at Canada as the big player. Our friends down south in the U.S., of course, the big player. And there are other regions around the world that we should be focusing on to see where the economics flow. So just really quickly, give your take on what you see happening in Canada, and then we can kind of dig into the meat and potatoes of everything else in the world.
Sure, Faisal. And many of us here in the States will be looked at by many in Canada as having very little knowledge about Canada, but we have a large presence there, including in Toronto, where I'll be visiting in a couple of weeks. And I was there just recently, and I've been there many times and love going there. The key differentiation between Canada and the United States probably is in the household debt sphere. I know this personally, that many individuals like myself are locked into mortgages for an average period of around 30 years. And as you might understand, the average period in Canada is a lot shorter, making individuals and households more susceptible to interest rate increases by the central bank. So it's a key pressure point in Canada that does not exist in the United States, where over 90% of households have mortgages with very long durations and therefore are locked into low interest rates. There's on the sidebar, negative connotation to that, making it difficult for individuals to move around the United States, which that lack of mobility can hurt efficiency in the future. But for now, it's a lower stress point in the United States relative to Canada and other parts of the world. So that's one key part of the story, increasing amounts of pressure on the Canadian household due to rising interest rates on the mortgages and probably will affect the level of GDP growth going forward.
I guess the one thing, Tony, that I'd like to ask is, you know, we just got some CPI numbers out of Canada this week and a decision next week, which will probably be mute at this point. You know, do you see Canada moving rates before the U.S. as we start to talk about decreases?
We generally think that Canada, like many other parts of the world, will probably follow the Fed, maybe perhaps concomitant with the Fed, not much difference, both for the United States and Canada. Markets think the central banks will buy about a point and a half in the year ahead. We think perhaps a little bit less than that, even less perhaps in the United States relative to the market expectation. But the general view that we would have on for investors regarding the pricing for central bank rate cuts is to be cautious, because we just went through, of course, we all know, a very bad episode of inflation. And the history is, the key lesson is to keep at it. Central banks that did not keep at it in terms of reaching inflation objectives and price stability, they failed and inflation was reignited. So I think central banks will move cautiously. And so for Canada, it'll want to be cautious about moving, even if it's seeing these stresses that we talked about. Simply because of the credibility idea and the risk that inflation expectations will go higher again, because they can, because it's fresh in our memories that inflation was high.
Tony, when you look at with interest rates on the horizon going down, so we pretty much are all in agreement that we've peaked on interest rates. There's very low probability of rate hikes happening unless something reverses. That being said, we're on the rate cut methodology, at least for quite a few countries around the world. That being said, how does that impact a fixed income portfolio? And the reason why I'm asking this question is because today, a lot of Canadians have a choice of going into guaranteed investment certificates, better known as CDs in the US. They've got cash paying or high interest savings accounts in Canada, paying in the 4.5% range. So you've got money that's making pretty decent interest rates or higher than they've seen in a very long time. Why take the risk of the bond market? So when you start hearing the words interest rate cuts, for an investor to kind of say, I'm willing to go in the bond market, what's the risk or benefits as we get through that kind of phase?
Well, the history is clear on this, and I'll reference some data to back it up, that now would be a good time to be thinking about total return. PIMCO engineered the idea of total return philosophy many decades ago, where a bond investor would be thinking about not just the yield, but the total return. So it's the yield plus price change. The yield plus price change wasn't very good, of course, in 2022. Price change was down because interest rates rose. But if faced with the idea and the possibility of interest rate cuts by a central bank, the likelihood is that bond prices will rise. So the history is dating back to 1978 for the so-called Bloomberg aggregate, which is sort of like the S&P 500 of the bond market, high quality instruments. Since 1978, the yield on core fixed income, the Bloomberg aggregate, which is a 5 to 7 year maturity, has outpaced cash, and you mentioned the GICs and CDs, 90% of the time, and importantly, by an average of 300 basis points per year on a 3 year rolling basis. And where that starts to, in other words, if the stated yield is 5, you could earn as much as 8% if prices move upward. The key timeline for being in core fixed income, this so-called Bloomberg aggregate as an example of core fixed income, is somewhere around the peak of the policy rate the central bank sets, and typically around 4 months prior to the peak in that policy rate. We all think that we've already passed the peak point, but the point is to be thinking about the possibility of bond prices moving up because central banks will be bringing their policy rates down. And so it would be a mistake, we think, to miss out. So one quick example, the Bloomberg aggregate is yielding today 4.75%. What if yields fall 100 basis points over a 3 year period, 6 year duration, as it's called, times that 100 basis point change is a 6 point price change. Take that as a given, that's simply the bond math. 6 point price change over 3 years, divide that, of course, 2 points per year, add that to today's yield, 4.75, and you get a total return of about 7%. That's before any alpha. Of course, the alpha, the money, the excess return that a manager provides could be negative, but for large managers like PIMCO, it tends to be positive. So the total return prospect is for 7% plus type of returns over the next 3 years. But the final word is an investor would have to be patient because no one really knows when that yield drop will occur. We don't know that it will occur, but with confidence in the central bank's ability to bring price stability, then the time is now.
You would, Tony, if Dave Popwich was here, he'd be all excited. He'd probably do a little happy dance right now because it's been a long time since Dave, our fixed income man on our team, has been able to say we can get 7-8% pretty much with a high conviction than over the last 15 years. So he's very excited about that. I want to pause at this point in time, Tony. I want to bring you back after commercial break. We want to talk about the global markets, the areas of opportunity. I don't think people actually give credit for global bond managers of what's out there and what they have to go through. I want to kind of shed some light for that. But before we do, Rob, we have a seminar talking about this one area of the opportunities, what we call the income bucket. When's our next seminar?
You got it, Faisal. Join us Tuesday, January 23rd. This will be 7 p.m. in person at the Country Hills Golf Club. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Where in the world can you make money in bonds? Forget about the stock market. in bonds. We're going to talk about that. Join us after the break. You're on Kurok Calgary and More Than Money.